respecter of persons. He's no respecter of sinner. Amen. He'll save anyone who will come to him by faith. All right, we're in Philippians chapter 1 still. Turn there. We looked at verses 9 and 10 this morning as Paul began praying for the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 1. So let's see here. Let's read. We'll read again, beginning in verse number 1. And I promise I won't repeat what I preached this morning. We'll just get down to verse number 11 and get started there. But Philippians chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the good singing, the good congregational singing, and the boys singing this afternoon. Thank you for that. I pray you'd help us now as we look at another portion of this chapter this afternoon. Pray you'd help us to say things that are helpful and needful and necessary, and help us to refrain from saying things that would not be pleasing to you. And Lord, we sure do love you and thank you for your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse number 9, the Apostle Paul began his prayer for the church of Philippi, and he's praying that their love may abound more and more, and that love would abound in knowledge and judgment. Then in verse number 10, he said that you may approve things that are excellent, encouraging them not to just discern between good and evil, but to discern between good and better, or better and best, encouraging them to choose that which is better. May the Lord help us to desire the things that are excellent. And then he said in verse number 10, that you may be sincere and without offense. May the Lord help us to be sincere in our walk with Christ and be sincere in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ and being sincere with each other and to live our life without offense. Now, I understand that it's hard to not offend people. I get that. And so I don't think that's what he's talking about at all. I think that our lives should be without offense to Christ and to God and to the Word of the Lord. And that is to be till the day of Christ. Now, certainly we ought to not try to offend people. But if the Word of God offends people, or if the Bible offends people, then they'll just have to be offended. We're not going to change the Bible to try to appease people's feelings, but we're not actually going about looking for people to offend. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Now, in verse number 11, he said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, this goes right along with what we've been talking about in verses 9 and 10. And we're not going to go back and talk much about those verses anymore. But he said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And so not only does he pray for their love to abound more and more, and he prays that they may approve things that are excellent and be sincere in that, and that they don't do that for a short period of time, but they do that till the day of Christ, or till the day that they die, till the day the Lord comes. In other words, there's nowhere to stop, nowhere to quit, nowhere to decide that you no longer want to be pleasing to the Lord. You ought to be striving to do that all of your life. And then he also prays that they would be filled with fruits of righteousness. Now, I guess you could say judicially or positionally, maybe that would be a better way of putting it. The believer is righteous before God. Brother Jordan made mention of that this morning in his Sunday school lesson, talking about when God sees us, he does not see our sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And certainly we possess the righteousness of God by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are partakers of his divine nature. And the Bible says, a very well-known passage of Scripture, one you can probably quote yourself, 2 Corinthians 5:16, where the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We are a new creature in Christ. We have Christ's righteousness because we are in him. But this is talking about being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Now, and it says, which are by Jesus Christ. So the source of these fruits, of course, is Jesus Christ. This is the result of the new birth or the spiritual birth. In fact, look what the Bible says. Come to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. I could just read these verses, but I like for you to look at them. 1 John chapter 3. So we're talking about the being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Judicially, positionally, we are righteous in the sight of God by our new birth. We are a new creature. But the source of the fruits is Jesus Christ. This is the result of the new birth. Look what the Bible says in 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And so may the Lord help you and I to live righteous lives. Or I can just simplify that. May the Lord help us to live right. Say, what's right, preacher? Well, not your opinion or my opinion. What thus saith the Lord is right. Amen. And so may the Lord help us to live right. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so the result of this truth is the simple fact that the truth is unnatural to those who are unsaved, just as much as unrighteousness should be unnatural for those of us that are saved. Amen. And so it ought to be a natural thing for us that are born again to strive to live holy and righteous lives, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And I don't know why it's not doesn't continue to be a desire of our heart as a believer to live righteous. Now, I talked about Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 this morning, and the fruit that God wants to see in our lives. And Galatians chapter 5, we have the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Maybe I missed one. Against such there is no law. And so the Lord wants us to live a life that is bearing fruits of righteousness. Being filled with them is what Paul says about this church here at Philippi. Now, come to Romans chapter 12, if you will. Romans chapter 1, I should say. Romans chapter 1. And we'll talk just a little bit about this fruit bearing. I mentioned what the Bible says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I didn't turn there and read that because we read that this morning. But Paul also compared winning souls or being a witness. Obviously, someone asked me one time when I sign a Bible, oftentimes people ask me to sign their Bible, and I always put Proverbs 11:30. That verse is, he that winneth souls is wise. I missed part of that verse. But let's see, what does that verse say? Now I've got myself intrigued. Yeah, the fruit of the righteous, right. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, is the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And so I had someone tell me one time, they were one of these holier than thou, and they said, well, who can win souls? And I said, he that winneth souls is wise. But the fruit of the righteous is that we strive to be a witness, which the Bible tells us to be, or desires for us to be. We see that in Romans chapter 1. Look at this. Paul compared winning lost souls to Christ, to bearing fruit. Look at verse 13, Romans 1:13. He said, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. And so Paul was telling them at Rome, I have a desire to come to you. And the reason I want to come there is because I want to have some fruit among you guys as well. I want to win some folks to Christ in Rome. And so we see that the winning of souls is bearing righteous fruit. Now look at, come to Romans chapter 6. Paul also named, this is a dirty word anymore, Paul also named holiness as a spiritual fruit. Holiness as a spiritual fruit. Look what he says in Romans 6:20. It says, For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things which ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Now look at verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. And so look, we are no longer servants to sin, amen. And we have been delivered from the bondage of sin. We have been delivered from the penalty of hell, but we have been saved from sin, not to sin, amen. And so we are to give fruit unto holiness. And so may the Lord help us to desire to live clean and holy lives that are pleasing to the Lord. It is bearing the fruit of righteousness. I don't want to be a barren tree. I want to be a fruit bearer. I want to witness. I want to be involved in people being saved. I want my life to be clean. I want it to be holy. It's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. And so listen, Christ has redeemed us from a life of sin and corruption, and we should not desire to continue in those things. Now, don't lose your place in Philippians chapter 1, but come to Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 13. So we've talked about a few things that is fruit. We understand the fruit of the Spirit that we talked about in Galatians 5. Trying to be a witness and having winning souls to Christ is a fruit of righteousness. We are to strive to live holy lives. That is a fruit of righteousness. And then we see here in Hebrews chapter 13 reminds us that our praise to God is the fruit of our lips. And so the Lord is even concerned about what's on your lips. Amen. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So in spite of the fact that there's two gates guarding what comes out of our heart, oftentimes we allow things to slip past both the teeth and the lips to say things that God wished we would have never even thought, much less said. He wants us to be using our voice to praise Him who is worthy of our praise. Now look at the verse.